Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to our two-year anniversary of Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today's show is brought to you by J. Hill Staffing Services, a division of Markham Search. J. Hill Staffing Services provides legal and corporate recruiting services to the Southern California market. So thank you so much to our sponsors, and thank you so much to our guest today, David Guillaume, who has joined us. David has been a teacher of mine for many years and was actually a self-made millionaire at 15 years old. He was immersed in the investment world and medical field before experiencing a roller coaster on the financial spectrum. With his vast insight, he is a catalyst for people to realize that abundance and fulfillment begin on the inside with a strong spiritual practice. One of the leading Kabbalah teachers in the world and a full-time volunteer, his understanding of self-transformation and global change are what contribute to his tremendous success. David and his wife currently live in Los Angeles, and I'm grateful that David has been one of my teachers for several years now. So thank you so much for joining us today, David.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I appreciate that.
So tell me, I mean, I know you and I have worked together for a few years, and you've definitely given me some incredible insights personally and professionally. How did you begin on this spiritual journey yourself?
Well, personally, I had an uncle who was involved in the spiritual practice of Kabbalah, and he saw that at a very young age, I was going through a lot of adult issues, basically, a lot of challenges and stresses with money and life that was maybe a little premature for me to be going through. So he said maybe a spiritual practice would really help me. He took me to my first Kabbalah class. And within that first class, it was me and a bunch of people probably in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. And I just loved it. I kept asking questions. Every question I had, the teacher answered. I was very turned off by religion in general. I didn't like dogma. I didn't like religion. I didn't like structure. I didn't like a guru telling me what to do. And Kabbalah just proved to be something totally different. The spirituality, universal concepts, universal wisdom. The teacher explained how the soul works, how the world works, the purpose of life. And it was almost very scientific and spiritual at the same time. And it totally enamored me.
So that's amazing. So up until that point, now, what age were you when you started studying Kabbalah?
I was 15. Like, I actually couldn't even drive to class. I had to have my mom drop me off. I actually dragged my mom to class. And I think it changed her life, too. It was just a 10-week course, and it was just so profound.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate with you here for a moment, because I love to kind of dig into the stuff that I would be thinking out there if I were listening to the show. So if you were a self-made millionaire at 15 years old, what came first, the millions or Kabbalah?
So the millions came first. I just had a desire to want to make money, and I had a little bit of money just saved up, and I started to play around with it and do some research and a little bit in the stock market. I also had like a part-time career, I would say, at that age, selling medical supplies, and I kind of grew up the ladder there and just doing everything simultaneously. And next thing you know, the market was really good back then, and everybody was making money, and I started to make money too. And you know, kid my age didn't really know what to do with that kind of wealth that early on.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. So this is a question that sometimes I get from people when I'm talking about different spiritual principles with them. Why is it that some people have zero spiritual practice at all and have tons and tons of money, and then you have other people perhaps who have a very devout, awesome spiritual practice, but then don't have money? How would something like that happen?
Oh, that's a profound question. So I guess one of the first things, maybe just to set the foundation, is that the wisdom of Kabbalah basically teaches that every soul came to this world with one specific mission, and that is to receive everything in life. So every single person actually has the ability to receive every type of pleasure, fulfillment, success, love, health, friendship, whatever it is that they desire, they have the ability to receive that. In fact, the Creator, we do believe that there is a force called the Creator, which is a positive, endless sharing force. The Creator created us with the intention that we would receive everything. The problem is that we obviously come into this world and it's a chaotic, dark world, and we're not born with everything. We're not born with our soulmate. We're not born with financial freedom or peace of mind or clarity. So it kind of seems like we don't really have rules to this game of life. But what Kabbalah explains is that we are created in the darkness without our fulfillment because we have to earn our fulfillment. And when we use the word earn, many people think earn, well, you know, I earn money. I work hard in my career, or I earn a good relationship. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I'm a good wife. I'm a good whatever it may be. But there's another type of earning which most people don't know about, and they're very blown away when they start to learn about this type of earning when they study Kabbalah, and that's spiritual earning. We actually have to spiritually earn these blessings in life as well. So it's not just about how hard you work physically. It's also about spiritually, how do you live your life according to the spiritual laws of the universe? So if I had to make it simple, it says that all the blessings in this world, the Kabbalists give a name to all the blessings in this world. They call it the light of the Creator. So if a person is connected to the energy or the light of the Creator, they're going to see blessings, physical things, amazing things will come to them just naturally, organically. And if a person is disconnected from the light of the Creator through their actions, through negative actions, through negative consciousness, all of which Kabbalah explains, if they're disconnected, then they're going to have a hard time attracting financial abundance, or they're going to have a hard time finding true love, or they're going to have a hard time having peace of mind. And some people might have financial abundance, but they may not feel the energy that should come with financial abundance or the peace of mind. So the idea is that every single person comes with a different setting. Some people come rich, some people come poor. Everyone comes in a different dynamic. And each person has exactly what they need, from settings to family to friends to country of birth. Everything you can imagine. Everybody has everything they need to be able to follow the spiritual laws and access the light and access fulfillment in every way. If that means wealth, if that means feeling of spirituality, any blessing you can imagine. I hope that answered your question. That was a long-winded answer.
Yeah, it answers the question. And again, because I love the conversations I engage in. Half the time when I'm Ubering around, I have these profound spiritual conversations with my Uber drivers. And I'm always getting what I call positive, or what somebody once taught me called positive resistance, which is people saying, well, yeah, but then that doesn't make sense. Like, why would the world be designed in such a way that, say, somebody out there listening right now might be driving home and they have an abusive boss. They have somebody who is just a complete jerk to them. They connect to whatever their version of, you know, the Creator or spirituality is, and they're, you know, perhaps doing the right thing, quote unquote. Maybe they're praying, maybe they're meditating, maybe they're remorseful for past misdeeds, or whatever things one would think that he or she might be supposed to do in order to have abundance and prosperity. And yet he or she may be driving home right now and miserable and sad and frustrated and experiencing financial loss or unhappiness. How can those two things coincide?
Beautiful question. It's probably the most commonly asked question in our classes, because people cannot reconcile. They have a hard time reconciling, you know, simply, why do bad things happen to good people? So here's the answer.
Exactly.
Here's the answer. So if every soul came to this world to earn the blessings, earn the light of the Creator, as we say, then how do they earn that? So it says that each soul also came with at least one, if not many, attributes which need to be corrected. And these attributes basically are all the negative things that we know about human beings. It can be anger, jealousy, insecurity, fear of abandonment, fear of not being enough, entitlement, hatred, pride, control. You know, some people have the feeling where they always need to be in control, the need to be the best and better than everybody else in a way that could be hurtful. So all of these negative qualities, which we all can agree are negative qualities and we don't want to have them, we all come with at least one of these qualities. And we must transform this quality to actually receive happiness. So if a person came to this world and they're 98% amazing and perfected, and they just have like one negative quality.
Yeah, right.
Let's just say, right, for the purpose of this example, and they don't transform that one quality, they actually will not have happiness at all. So it's not about, oh, you know, I'm so much better than you, I do so many positive things. It's not about that. The question is, are you transforming and correcting that negative quality, that fear? And you could have 1,000 amazing qualities. You could be the most charitable person, doing so much for the world, feeding millions of kids, and the world loves you, but you have this fear. Maybe you have a fear of being alone. You have a fear of, maybe you have pride. Maybe you think you're better than everybody, and you came to transform that. And nobody knows it but you. But if you don't transform that one quality, you're still going to be in darkness, and you're still going to have chaos. Now, that leads to the next point. Why do we attract certain people in our lives? And it's really interesting because the soul actually asks for every relationship that we go through to come to it. So that person you dated in high school or in college or the person you're married to now, your soul actually requested that person to come to you. Now, what if that person is a negative person or an abusive person? My soul is asking for an abusive person to come to me? And this is, you know, it can be a hard answer to swallow. But the truth is, every person that is sent to us is there to show us and to activate the negative qualities inside of us. So if I have anger, I will attract people who will make me angry so that I can see it and transform it, right? If I'm an impatient person, I will attract, the universe will bless me with the slowest people in the world to awaken the negative quality. Now, I could be an amazing human being, but if I have impatience and that's my only thing I need to correct in this world, the universe will send me all the people, all the particulars. Maybe I'll have kids who are slow, who are not up to par with what I want, or I'll be surrounded by colleagues who are just, you know, irresponsible or lazy. And it will bother me to the point where in Kabbalah we learn, wait, if it's bothering me, it means the universe is showing me something I need to change. It's not about if I'm a good person or not. Do I need to change something? And is this person showing me my negative quality that I need to change?
So I'm going to go with this example for a minute, because one of the things that I remember, and I remember it very clearly, I think it was Moshe was my teacher way back when, and he gave this great example of sometimes, like, let's say that I see this happen a lot in the job hunting world, where you'll see somebody might leave 3 or 4 jobs, and this happens with personal relationships as well, for the same reason. Oh, in the personal world, he cheated on me. In the professional world, he or she, my boss, that person, or my colleague was abusive or mean to me. And you notice this happens a lot. And then you start to wonder, okay, well, why does this person keep having this happen? And I think in Moshe's example years ago, he said, it's kind of like if you have a letter addressed to Jennifer Hill, and if that letter is addressed to Jennifer Hill, and I receive the letter and I'm like, oh no, you got the wrong Jennifer Hill, universe, so sorry, return to sender. And so then you return that letter. Clearly this person, this situation, this crappy job or relationship wasn't meant for me. Then what does the universe do? Well, clearly the universe just thinks you didn't get the message. So it sends you multiples and triples and quadruples of the same message until you open the letter and then you say, oh my gosh, wow, this is the lesson. But one of the things I personally still am unclear about from a big spiritual picture standpoint, how do you know when you've learned the lesson versus when it's time to leave? Like, let's take whether it's an abusive relationship, personally or professionally. You know, you would never tell somebody to sit there and be a punching bag. So at what point have you actually opened the letter? Does it mean just walking away from the bad job or the person who's a jerk to you and saying, enough, I'm not going to deal with that? Is that what opening the letter is? Or is it staying there and putting up with that person? And so that's been one thing for me that I've always found to be a conundrum. Like, which way is the way that you're supposed to know that you've actually learned that lesson?
Great question. And obviously there isn't one answer that fits everyone's scenario. But I think the first main problem is for most people is that they don't know what a lesson is, right? So they may say, okay, what's the lesson here? And they don't really know what could all the possible lessons be. So when we're learning Kabbalah, we're learning, okay, this is actually all the different lessons that we must learn in life. And people are blown away because maybe of the 20 lessons we might teach them just in the first, you know, couple months, they really only were aware of one such lesson that they need to learn in life. They didn't realize that they have to actually become all these other qualities as well. So the first thing is, what are all the lessons possible that I need to learn so I can start to identify what those lessons are? So let's give the example of an abusive relationship. Obviously, a physically abusive relationship is different. A person must step away. You know, let's just leave that one aside. But let's say you're in a relationship where you're just not getting the love back that you want. You're not getting the circuitry. There's no synergy. So what do you do here? You may say, okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to move on to something else. Or we're saying no. If you move on, you will not have learned the lesson that the universe wants you to learn to be connected to the light. Okay, so what is it about me that I need to change? What is this person activating within me? What is the fear that they're activating in me? What is it? What is the quality in me that they're showing me that is ungodly, basically, not of the attributes of the Creator? Because we learn in Kabbalah, we came to become like the Creator. So we learn all the attributes of the Creator, and we learn we have to become those attributes. So in this relationship, before I leave, I need to discover what is it bringing up in me that is not of the Creator? Am I insensitive? Maybe I'm shut down. Like, I'll give you an example of somebody who tells me, you know, I'm in this relationship and she's complaining that I'm not giving her all my heart. And I don't want to give her all my heart because I'm not 100% sure yet if I want to be with her the rest of my life, right? And we see this kind of problem. You know, sometimes people hold back. They don't want to give 100% because they're not sure this is the person that they want to be with. So what I said to him was, look, the Creator sent you this relationship now, today, to bring out all the godly qualities from you. One of God's qualities, one of the Creator's qualities, is to be 100% giver, to be 100% in terms of giving. And obviously that means many things, but it definitely means for you to overcome your fear of opening your heart, your fear of maybe you're going to get hurt if you open up. You have to overcome your fear and just do the thing that's going to transform you. And once you've done that, then your soul will be connected to the light, and the light will show you what to do in the relationship. So actually, that's what he did. He actually spent a couple of weeks breaking his fear, opening up to her, sharing with her, like kind of like opening up his heart and giving her everything. After those couple of weeks, he actually realized with utter clarity that he didn't want to be in this relationship. And he didn't get to that clarity until he learned his lesson, until he broke his fear. Mm. So you have to take the action of acting like the Creator, of acting like the positive qualities of the Creator, which we learn, in order to then get the clarity of what to do, when to leave, and whatnot. When people are confused or unsure, it just means that they haven't learned the full lesson yet. Even in an abusive relationship, let's say a physically abusive one, and you leave. All right, you should leave. But that doesn't mean you should leave and just think, he's a horrible person, she's a horrible person, I'm moving on. You still attracted an abusive person for a reason. You still attracted somebody who didn't value you because maybe you don't value you. Maybe you don't have self-confidence or you don't respect yourself to some degree. And this person came to your life to show you that. Now, yes, you should leave the relationship, but you definitely need to now work on whatever they showed you.
That's a great point you raise as it relates to job seekers, because it's funny. We, for example, sometimes in the legal industry, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but there can be really tough, difficult attorneys out there who get a horrible reputation for being a jerk or a capital B-I-T-C-H or whatever it might be. And you have some people who go to work for these attorneys and they love them. They're like, I don't know what the big deal is. I don't know why everybody else has said he or she is the most challenging person in the whole wide world. And then you get other people who go in there and say, oh, it's so unfair. It's I don't know what's wrong. They're being mean to me. And it kind of does tie into what you're saying is perhaps maybe the lesson for some of the people who feel like they're being victimized, the lesson could be, I'm not saying that it is, to learn to stand up for themselves and find value in themselves, and then they might not find themselves bullied in those situations, versus for the people who are on those exact same positions 3 years later or 3 years before, who have no problem with it. It's just because of their perspective of how they're seeing that that's not something that activates them at a personal level. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And to always make it simple, I always take people back to the benchmark. In Kabbalah, we learn there's a benchmark of who we need to become. And we have to become like God. Okay, so what does that mean? Because God means many different things to many people. And the first thing that we say is God is a proactive force, not a reactive force. Meaning, what is the definition of reactive according to Kabbalah? It's any action or thought that comes from lack or fear is considered to be reactive. So any decision I make, word I say, conversation I have, or decision I make that comes from a lack or fear is actually, by definition, reactive, and by definition, disconnects me from the light of the Creator. So people have so many different personalities. You know, I could right now shout on the phone as loud as I can. Now, does that mean I'm angry? No, it depends on where I'm coming from. If I'm coming from fear or lack, then I'm actually totally disconnected from the light and I'm in darkness. So one lawyer, you know, it all depends. It's so relative. We don't know what's going on in the inner workings of each person. But each one of us needs to ask ourselves, are the decisions I'm making, are the things I'm doing, you know, for example, let's say, in a marriage, a guy tells me that he's always upset that his wife is spending so much money, let's say. And I said, okay, all right, well, that's interesting. He's like, and it's wrong. You shouldn't be spending outside of our budget. That's what he tells me. I said, look, you may be right, but the fact that you're talking to her from a place of fear, because you're afraid, really, if you had billions of dollars, would you care? No, but you're afraid that you're not going to have enough money. So you want to now control your wife and tell her to stop spending so much. But because you're coming from a place of fear, you're reactive. And because you're reactive, you're disconnected. So you're failing your test. Constantly challenges come into our lives to test us, to be reactive or to not be reactive. And one tool that we've learned in our classes is when you feel the fear, when you feel the anxiety, when you feel the pressure and you want to react to get some instant gratification, you got to pause. You got to pause and you got to say, what a pleasure. Every time there's a challenge, you say, pause, what a pleasure. You're in traffic and it's not moving and you're late. You're getting angry and upset and there's people all around you who are disturbing you. Just pause, what a pleasure. This is my opportunity to act like the light, to act like God right now. And by doing that, I'm passing my test. I'm accessing the light. That's all that it's about, is constantly passing my test and acting like the Creator, which is acting proactive, not reactive, when the test comes. That's the main job of all of us in this world. And let's say with the career, you know, you're talking about a career. Will you tell me, what's the major test people have when it comes to their careers?
Well, it's funny. What came up for me as you were speaking is money, because I figure whether you're somebody who's an entrepreneur, whether you're somebody who is, you know, working for somebody else, one of the biggest obstacles that I hear from most people is the fear of lack or scarcity around money. In fact, I was just talking to somebody last week about how he's looking to leave his job. He loves his bosses, loves the work he's doing, and loves the people. And I said, well, why would you want to leave then? And he said, well, because I'm underpaid, I haven't had a raise. And I find that that is probably the biggest complaint. If I were to, you know, give a thumbs up or a like button that everybody could just click on right now, as far as the most important thing to people, what most people think is the most important thing to them in many cases is money and having extra money, getting raises, et cetera. And yet a lot of people feel that there's scarcity or lack, or that they're underpaid or undervalued.
Great. So we all know in Kabbalah, we learn that you will only attract what you've earned. So if you have not earned the better job or the higher pay, it means both physically and spiritually, you haven't earned that yet. Physically, it could mean you're not working hard enough, simply. I mean, you may think you're working hard enough, but you simply aren't. But spiritually, it may mean you still have some blockages inside of you, inside your consciousness, inside your soul. You still have some issues. And it can be issues unrelated to work, by the way. It could be that you're having an affair at home and you're cheating on your spouse, and which is a totally reactive thing to do, something that is coming from fear and lack. And as a result, you're creating a blockage in your business. It could be that you're a liar and you're lying to people totally outside your career. But within your career, it's creating a blockage. So spiritually, you also have to earn. And the other thing that we learn is that the Creator has already parceled out for each person exactly what belongs to them. So there's a certain amount of money that belongs to Jennifer. There's a certain amount of money that belongs to David, and no one can touch that. That is for me once I have both physically and spiritually earned it. And it's interesting because, you know, outside of Kabbalah, my wife and I, we have a business. And recently, it's come to my attention that one of our biggest competitors is actually doing things that are totally wrong to get an unfair advantage in the market. And I know what they're doing, and a thought comes to my mind. I can easily report them, and I can actually knock out my competitor. And a lot of people do this. But I realized, okay, wait a second. Why do I want to knock out my competitor? Is that coming from fear, my own lack, my own insecurity? If the answer is yes, then it's reactive. So not only am I not going to do anything, but I'm also going to realize that the Creator already has money that belongs to me set aside. And the only thing that's going to make me not get that money is by me being reactive. As long as I'm not reactive and I act like the Creator and I act like God, and which is all the things that we learn in Kabbalah, what that means. But if I act like that, all the money that belongs to me will come to me no matter what my competitor is doing. No matter if all my competitors start to cheat and steal and do whatever and get an unfair advantage, I still will get all the wealth that belongs to me. No one can touch the wealth that belongs to me. The only person that will make you not get the money that you belongs to you is you not being like the Creator. And that's the bottom line. I think people get scared and they're afraid, you know, and sometimes people stay in jobs because they're addicted to the paycheck and they're afraid to jump to the next level. They're afraid of going into the unknown. Again, they're reacting to fear and lack. As a result, that's why they don't get that extra source of income or source of blessings that they're looking for.
Wow. Well, I'm going to tell you what probably a lot of people out there who are listening might be thinking. That's a tough pill to swallow, because it sounds like what you're saying is that people are 100% accountable for their own success or failure, and that they have, perhaps, if I'm hearing you right, no one else to blame except to look at themselves and look at what's missing maybe. And maybe, I don't know, I'm just thinking about this out loud, perhaps to look at an inventory of, is there any area of their life where they're out of integrity, whether it's, you know, again, being unfaithful or lying or being, I don't know, maybe being disrespectful or angry to people. And then maybe taking that inventory and looking at what's missing. It's kind of, sorry, this is funny. It reminds me of that show, sort of, but not related. But My Name is Earl. Did you ever hear of that show, David? I don't know if you watch television.
I've heard of that show. I've heard of that show. I haven't seen it though.
It's just kind of a funny premise of a gentleman who is a complete jerk to everybody for many, 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 many years of his life. And so I think he wins the lottery or something. It's been years since I've seen it. And he makes amends and he decides that he has to go out and he comes up with a list of all the people he's wronged. And every episode is like him making amends for something else that he did. And I don't think it's to that extent, but it just makes me think of that, of how often do we as human beings actually take responsibility for ways that we made people's lives better or ways that we may have caused harm. And in fact, David, I think it was you who gave me a great tip. I started doing it about 6 months ago, where you take inventory right before bed and you start off by asking, like, how could I have lived today better? Was I rude? Was I intolerant? Was I judgmental? Did I physically do something or not do something that was in my highest and best good? And then once I do that, then I immediately follow that up with things that were like miracles. obstacles or things that I was really proud of myself for, like moments where you weren't reactive or where you were kind or tolerant or meditated or did, you know, just gave a stranger a smile, just the little things that we allow to slip through our consciousness and not acknowledge ourselves for. And I've personally found it's helpful to have that inventory, especially right before bed. So that way you can start your day afresh with a new intention of how you want to live the next day by what your highest and best good perhaps is.
Absolutely. And what we teach our students all the time is, you know, what's your number one goal in life? What's your number one intention? You know, and some people say, you know, it's my family, it's making money, it's being healthy, it's success, whatever. And I tell people that if your number one goal is to find every disgusting quality about yourself and transform it, and every fear, and also, you know, that's the thing, because you don't really know what's bad until you learn about it. You know, when you learn Kabbalah, you learn, oh my God, these 10 qualities I thought were actually good qualities are actually what are holding me back. So people actually have a skewed benchmark of what inventory they should be taking, right? That's a whole separate thing. But if our number one goal was just one thing, transformation, 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 every quality of mind that is negative, I want to transform. Every quality of mind that's not like the creator's qualities, I want to transform. Every bit of selfishness. You know, selfishness is I got a sandwich and my friend wants half my sandwich and I cut my sandwich in half. And you know, there's that half that looks so good. And then there's the other half, like the tomato falls out and it's a little smaller. It's like not as nice. It's whatever. And you give that half, the one that's not as nice, to your friend. That is already something God wouldn't do. That is already disconnecting you from the light. And we're thinking, oh, what's the big deal? You know, I'm sharing a sandwich. I mean, it's already my sandwich. Should already be grateful about. It's not about being grateful. It's about you overcoming your base selfish fears and desires. And that, if that is your number one goal, everything will happen. You will find your soulmate. Your soulmate will find you. It says that you will earn your soulmate. Your soulmate, if they're on the other side of the planet, will just come to you and be with you. Because you've earned them by doing your spiritual work. If it's your career, if it's health, whatever it is. Every physical problem in our lives is because it comes from a spiritual source. And that spiritual source is, have I or have I not transformed my negative, selfish, disgusting qualities, all the qualities that are not of the light of the Creator.
Yeah, I think that's the funny thing is, I think that's a wonderful point. I think everything you're saying has a lot of validity. And I can also hear from the people I've spoken with, and even my own husband. You know, I remember I brought him to one of my Kabbalistic teachers, and he got into a debate about God and creationism versus science and carbon dating. And it was a really funny but awesome discussion. For any of our listeners who might be out there right now, and they might be saying, well, gosh, David's giving some great life hack tips and how to do things, but I don't believe in God, or I don't believe in what you're calling the Creator, or I have a different belief that might not coincide. How can someone reconcile that and apply these life hack principles to attract prosperity, soulmate, happiness, the job, the person of their dreams, and perhaps reconcile that they may not believe it exactly what you're saying? Like, for some people, I know that if you use a word like God or Creator, it gets their hairs going up, and totally, they just have totally such a negative knee-jerk reaction to it. Any recommendations for anybody out there who might be even tuning out right now because they can't hear what you're saying because of the language?
Totally, totally. And that's a great point, because when we give our classes, let's say average, we open a class, let's say with 200 people, what kind of people are in this class? All demographics, all religious belief systems, people who don't believe in God, people who do believe in God, people who have had negative experiences with religion, people who have had positive experiences, people who are devoutly Catholic or Jewish or Muslim, from all walks of life, they come into this room. And I actually tell them, okay, whether you believe in God, you don't believe in God, it doesn't matter. But we have to all come to a point where we can all agree that the world is filled with energy, and there's energy, and we have a soul. So that's kind of like where we leave it. We basically say there's positive energy. Call it God, call it the Creator, call it nature, call it the universe, whatever you want. There's a positive force that we desire to connect to and to receive into our lives. And we are the recipients of this energy. So that's kind of like the baseline of where we start. And it does take time, but But as we learn more and more Kabbalistic concepts, all the people who have doubts or fears or not sure, or they're not sure if they believe it, I basically tell them, look, give me 3 weeks. It takes 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I'll tell you, I've been doing this for 19 years, teaching the same class. You know, I've probably thousands, I can't think, like thousands and thousands of seminars that we've given just on this one topic. And I just say, if your life doesn't change within 3 weeks, whether you believe or you don't believe in anything, you give me 3 weeks, and I can guarantee you, your entire life is going to change. Your entire perspective on life is going to change. In my last course, I had a woman who came up to me, and she said, you know, I'm a Holocaust survivor. And it was intense. And she basically, you know, raises her hand in class and says, you know, everything sounds great what you're saying, and you're telling me I attract my reality. Well, how do you explain that? I was in the concentration camp. And obviously, it doesn't have such a simple answer that I could just share right now on the phone. But by the time we were done, the explanation of how really things work, and we really just look at it from a limited point of view, she was so happy. She said it was the best explanation she ever got in the 80-plus years of her life. She finally realizes, okay, there's a system of cause and effect. And I would just tell people, Kabbalah is technology of the soul based on cause and effect. It's really just teaching you all the types of cause and effect that exist in this world so that you don't think the world is random anymore in any way.
Yeah, and I love it for any of the more scientific-minded people out there, because I know my husband is one of those people who wants to see, he loves all those science-related websites and wants hard, fast evidence. I love that in the Kabbalah bookstore, there are some very spiritual books out there, like Wheels of the Soul, that are fantastic. But then there's also some books that even talk about nanotechnology and how the Kabbalists basically discussed in their text nanotechnology 3,000 years ago, before nanotechnology was even touched by science. And I just love the parallels of it. I love that so many of the things that, no matter what you believe, like you said, as long as we can all come to the same agreement that yes, there is energy out there, and that there's positive and negative energy. And obviously, if you tap into the positive energy, you're going to have more happiness, peace, blessings, prosperity, whatever you want to call it in your words. But I love that it's available for both types of people. It's not just one type of person who, you know, to, for lack of a better word, woo-woo, you know, to use that sort of a term, because sometimes we all get called that, especially in California. But I love that there's a lot of science behind it. And, you know, for me personally, David, I think you know this, I'm part of something called the Zohar Project. And it was so extraordinary because there are these little blue books. I invite anybody out there who's tuning in, listening, if you have a Kabbalah center in your city or near your city, you can go and they'll give you a complimentary little blue book that just has positive energy in it. And I happened to bump into a woman at a party about a week ago. And she came up to me, and if I have an extra, I'll give somebody one if I have one in my purse. And she said, oh my gosh, you're Jennifer Hill. You gave me one of those books about 2 or 3 years ago. And she opens her purse, oh, and wow. Sure enough, she had one in there. And she said, Jen, you're never going to believe this, but so many wonderful things have happened since you gave that to me. Because I tell people, I'm like, listen, whatever you believe, it doesn't matter. It's all that matters is that it's good energy. And sure enough, she's like, you know, I just got laid off from my job. Where I had originally met her was at a store in Beverly Hills. And she said, less than a week later, I was offered a job for way better money, way better everything. And she said, I believe that it ties into this good little energy that I just carry around. So I love that idea. And then when I posted on Facebook about it, I must have gotten, I don't know how many likes and comments of everybody who knows me and who's posted, oh, thank you so much. And I even had a Facebook friend from childhood who I haven't seen in 30 years. And she's like, Jen, where do I get these books? So, you know, it's just so great that,
oh, I love that.
It's just something like positive energy. At the end of the day, who can argue positive energy no matter what you believe, you know?
Completely. I 100% agree with you. Kabbalah is all about tapping into energy. There are things that you can connect with that, you know, can bring more positive energy into your lives. Ultimately, we teach that you are the one who is in control of accessing that universal positive energy or not. And there's no one that can stop you if you desire it. Nobody. If you know the rules to the game of life and you have a desire, I'm telling you, from meeting with thousands of people and teaching, I mean, endless amounts, nothing will stop you from achieving your happiness, your fulfillment. If you desire it, it means the Creator wants you to have it. That's the bottom line. You're not going to desire something that you're not meant to have. If you want to be in a loving relationship, it means there is someone out there who's waiting for you. Otherwise, you would not crave it. The Creator would not make you crave it if it didn't already exist. So I think it's just a very powerful concept in and of itself.
Yeah, well, David, I could talk to you for hours and hours on the show, but I would love to know, you know, before we wrap up, are there any tips or any points that if, you know, if somebody's just tuning into the last 5 minutes or so of the show, what would you love people to walk away with today?
I would say, number one, the universe is perfect. Every single thing that's happening, even if it doesn't make sense to you, is there to show you how to transform, how to get out of your old self, get into your new self, so you can enjoy life more. That's number one. Number two, I would say everything is a test. Every time you're upset, no matter how logical or illogical it is, it's a test for you to go to your next level and access more fulfillment. So don't take anything personally. Nothing is personal. Everything is a test. Pass your test. Number three, the way to pass your test, don't get reactive. When you feel afraid, when you feel that lack, that void, and you just want to fill it up with something, just hit the pause button. Pause and just tell yourself a mantra. I like to say, what a pleasure. What a pleasure basically means I love the opportunity I'm getting now to change or to be different. I just love that opportunity the universe is sending me, as painful as this is. Those are the three main points of consciousness that I would tell people just to keep with them.
Yeah, I love that. And in fact, I had a guest on the show last year. So what a pleasure is one way of saying it. And a guest last year on the show taught me the how does it get any better than this game? So same thing, even if you're stuck in traffic or faced with adversity or something, instead of saying how does it get any worse, say what a pleasure or how does it get any better than this? And just connect to like that moment of gratitude or happiness and looking for the good rather than the bad.
Absolutely.
Awesome, Dave. Well, again, you've been one of my teachers for many years. You've offered me countless insights, even helped me recently with some spiritual things when it came to selling my business. So I am always going to be extremely grateful. And I would love to be able to share your resources with any of our listeners out there. Where would people find information if they would love to find out information about you as a teacher or perhaps about Kabbalah? Where would you instruct them to go?
Well, if they want to take live classes or hear recordings of classes that we give, just go to Kabbalah.com. If there's a local center, Kabbalah Center around you, you'll be able to see which classes are starting. You can even type in my name and you'll see which classes I'm teaching. Also great resources, free resources on Kabbalah.com, books, literature, just anything you would want on virtually every topic about life is there. And I will also say I have a private text message service that I recently started that seems to be really popular. And if anybody wants to join, all they have to do is take out their phone and text the word proactive. So proactive, text the word proactive to the number 797979. So text the word proactive to the number 797979, and then you'll be added to my text message list. Basically, once a week, I send out a 3-minute audio just about the energy of the day or things to keep in mind or consciousness. And this has gone viral for me. It's been very popular. It's a small dose of Kabbalah wherever you are in the world. This works for about 98% of the people. Some people's telephone services don't opt into this, but if you text the word proactive to 797979, you'll be part of my text message list and I'll send you weekly points of inspiration.
Yeah, I love your text. It's like I can be in the middle of some completely crazy upset and I just love how everything is perfect in the universe. And like right when I'm getting pissed off or angry or reactive, I get that little text that comes in from you and I'm like, oh, wait, I have to pause what I'm doing and listen to David and I'm sure I'll have a healthier, happier perspective about it. So I think that's...
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just such a wonderful perspective. And I'll leave my listeners with one thing that I think you had taught me years ago and it was a great concept. So somebody had once said, well, have you a soccer game and in the soccer game, you know, typically there would be a goalie. Well, what if you played a soccer game and there was no goalie? There would basically be no game. And I think you had shared with me years ago, and I'll never forget it, that the goalie is actually our ego that we chose, because without having our ego there to be our adversary and to push us to learn and to grow. And like you said, to overcome our reactive nature, then we would just be kicking a ball into a net and there would be no game to be played. So I kind of love that analogy because it puts it in a perspective that we can all understand, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody wants life to be easy and just to have whatever they want. But the truth is, if you got everything you wanted without the adversary, without the opponent, you would actually not be able to enjoy it. So the opponent is necessary. And we each have an opponent that's just exactly on our level, challenging us, forcing us, beckoning us to be reactive.
Exactly. And so it's one of my favorite things I ever learned from you. But thank you so much, David, for joining us. And if you missed any portion of today's show, remember that you can always download it on latalkradio.com under the Get Yourself the Job section. And you can find it in the archives. The full show will be available to you later in the week. You can also download the show and listen at your leisure or subscribe on iTunes. You can find the show at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes and find this episode or any of our previous episodes on there. And we also often post and interact with people on our Get Yourself the Job Facebook page, where we're always open to comments or any feedback that you might have about our guests or questions you'd love us to ask in the future. So tune in next week. We're going to be having Brian Weed on the show talking about new recruitment and job search strategies for a changing market. And thank you again, David, so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Wishing everybody a wonderful week out there.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.